Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out to our home group meeting tonight. And I'd like to thank everybody for coming out. You know, you could have just stayed at home and, you know, watched TV or read the Bible or did something else. And but you made the effort to come out tonight. And I just really thank you and for that. And I know you will receive a double portion of the Word from the Lord, and then you will also receive a double portion of the cheesecake that my wife made, and it's very, very good, and so we will be blessed in both ways. What I'd like to do, I'd like to continue on with the series that I've been teaching, and this is part two of a four-part series on Judge Yourself. And, you know, I said this last week, I'm going to say it again, I believe this is probably one of the most important messages, series that I've ever shared, because we must be able to come to a place in God that we can judge ourselves, because if we don't, well, we will never ever grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's two points that we looked at last month that was very, very important, and I'd like to go ahead and mention those two points and now get us into what we like to talk about tonight. Last month we looked at that self-judgment or judging yourself has to do with knowing the difference between clean and unclean, between godly and ungodly. It is not about knowing right from wrong. Now, there is God gives us His holy word right here, and He tells us what is right and wrong. But self-judgment has nothing to do with right and wrong, because the Bible tells us what is right and wrong. But coming to a place in God, we have the ability to judge ourselves, has to do with clean and unclean, and holy and unholy, in these areas in our life that we must allow God to work in us and remove those areas. And the other point we looked at last month was truth is always from God's perspective. Truth is always from God's perspective, but from His point of view, and it is progressive. That truth is from God's perspective, and it is progressive. Amen. If you have the teaching outline, we're going to start in 1 Peter 4:17. So a wonderful verse, and we need to really look at that, and then we'll go ahead and go through the different talking points that I've prepared. Amen. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come that judgment," and that word judgment there is translated in the Greek as separation. Remember we looked at last week that anytime you judge something, it always has to do with separation. Last week we looked at God has called us out of this world, and He has separated us unto Himself. That's a very, very important point. We are separated unto Himself. And that word right there, judgment, is separation. But for the time has come that separation must begin at the house of God. We are the house of God. The house of God is not the church building. The house of God is not a denomination or any of that stuff. The Bible says that we are the house of God. In Psalms, unless the Lord builds the house, He's not talking about a church, He's talking about us. Unless God builds us, he who builds the house labors in vain. In Matthew, Jesus said, "I will build my house." Mm-hmm. We are that house. And that separation must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now that right there, I don't know about you, but that just kind of gives me pause and kind of scares me. If we do not allow God to work in our life so that we can separate some things from our life, if we don't do that, Lord, where will the people that not obey the gospel appear? They will appear in destruction, and they will appear in loss. Where does judgment begin, and what are the results? When we are separated from others and become the Lord in a fuller way, we are brought to development and growth. Judgment in ourselves and the results of the ability for us to judge ourselves, that begins and that results when we are separated from others and we become the Lord's in a fuller way. God expects us to grow into maturity to the extent that we will be able to judge ourselves. Now, I know that's not a big... You don't hear that preached in a lot of churches, but I will tell you, this is one of God's main intentions in our life, is for us to be able to come to maturity. Everything that God makes comes to maturity, and it grows. Same with us, and same with our spiritual life. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Therefore, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." God desires us to grow, and we will never, ever grow in God unless we can come to a place to where we'll be able to say, uh-oh, that feeling that I have, that thought that I have, that expression, that way that I do things, that needs to be removed. Mm-hmm. We need to judge that. And you'll see that process, and we'll talk about that process a little more. But most believers never grow and develop in God because they have never separated themselves to God. That is a critical point. Most believers never, ever, you know, I have friends that have been, you know, in the church for 40 and 50 and 60 years, but they never grow in the grace and the knowledge. You never see any spiritual fruit in their life. They come to church, they sing in the choir, they pay the tithes, they do all of those things, but they never grow because they have never separated themselves totally unto God. That's the only way we can do that. And when we totally separate ourselves to God, we will come to a place then where we have the ability to judge areas in our life. It is a critical area that we need to have moving in our life. Self-judgment can only be accomplished by those who have maturity enough to see themselves in the perspective, and that in that perspective, in that progression of truth, in a greater way. We hold the mystery of the gospel in a higher esteem. Thus, we have no desire to sin. We simply do right. When we separate ourselves unto God, when we separate ourselves and we say, "Oh Lord, I don't believe I said that. Lord, I am yours. Please work in my life." When we separate ourselves to God, we have this greater understanding, and that greater understanding that we will have will be one thing that will prevent us from willfully wanting to sin. This understanding will also prevent us from desiring to willfully sin. We understand God's desire for us is in a greater way, and we hold the mysteries of the gospel. Thus, we have no desire to sin. We just do right because it's just the natural way to do. That is one of the intentions that God has for our life, is to bring us into a life of righteous living. Righteous living. Where everything we do is righteous. And it's a place in God where we don't have to think about being righteous. It's like breathing. I don't have to think about breathing. Breathing is automatic. It's natural. And when we come to this place in God to where we can self-judge ourselves, then our living will just be automatic. It will just be a righteous living. I won't have to stop and say, "I'm going to do right. I'm going to do right today. Now I'm going to do right." Our living and our life just becomes righteous. And then sin has no dominion over us. It will have no dominion. Once we come to a place of self-judgment, once we come to a judgment of something, we judge it, and it's either judged or is accepted. Whether it is unclean or clean is beside the point. If we judge it as unclean, it is unclean, whether it is or not. Titus 1:15, wonderful verse here. "Unto the pure, all things are pure." Wow. All things are pure. Now, when the Bible says all, it means all. To the pure, all things are pure. "But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled." We won't have anything to do with it. If we judge something as clean, it's clean. If we judge it as unclean, it's unclean. Now, here's what we can get in trouble if we're not careful. If we haven't we haven't totally, you know, gave ourselves to the Lord in this area. If we judge something as clean and God says it's unclean, then we have a problem. Then we have a problem. We must be careful here. Again, the critical point is not right and wrong, but what we have condemned or what we have accepted. So we judge the holy or the unholy, the clean or the unclean. Then we accept it, we condemn it, and we move on from that. We see that that area in our life is not of God. And we say, God, take care of that area in our life. That is a self-judgment. We must judge something to prevent it from following us along our walk with God. Evaluate. We consider it and we judge it. Now we've done it. We have finished it and we never go back to it again. You have condemned it, you have judged it, and now it is gone in our life. We must be continually judging situations, even people. Should I go there? Should I talk to that person? Or should I see that person? Should I be doing this job or that job? Our life should constantly, constantly be filled with self-judgment in our life. We must constantly look at different situations that we are in our life. Most Christians don't look at what's going on around them. They have no spiritual discernment. They have no spiritual ability within to see what's moving in the Spirit, to see what's moving in different people. They don't have that ability. We must come to a place in God when we have that ability. We will come to that place in God when we fully give ourselves to Him. The distractions of this world, you know, won't blind us and move us out of the way. We must come to a place to where we can self-judge ourselves. We have been set aside for the Master's use. All things that are brought to us are to be separated. Let me say that again. All things that are brought to us in our life is to be separated, is to be judged and separated unto the Lord. Everything moving in our life must be judged and it must be separated. If it's not of God, it must be condemned and you move on. Never to go back and, you know, look at it again. That's a part of self-judgment. They are to be sanctified, fit for the Master's use. And we are not to have in our temple unclean things. Once we give our life to Christ, we are to start separating. We're to start judging the holy from the unholy. Wow. That's a powerful thought right there. Once we give our life to Christ, we are now supposed to say, whoa, that is holy, that is unholy. That is unrighteous, that is righteous. That, oh, you know, I have to stay away from. But most believers do not do this. They're trying to serve God with unclean things in their temple. Am I right? They are trying to serve God with unclean things in their temple. We must allow God to work in our lives, and we must come to a place in God solely, you know, just sold out to the Master. I mean, just committed to Him, and we see things moving in our lives and other people's lives and other situations that we just separate ourselves from them. We do not get around them. There are people in my life today that I like, that I know I can't hang out with. I can't hang out with them. There are certainly places that I can't go if I want to serve the Lord. I have willfully separated myself from some people. I have willfully done that. A, God has said, warning, 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 danger, danger, Dave Stahl, danger, Dave Stahl. And I have separated myself from them. That is a judging. A lot of Christians don't do that. They just go any old way and just do whatever they want to do and say what they want to say. And that's why there's no spiritual growth in their lives. And that's where they get in trouble. We are the habitation of God. I don't know about you, but that makes me very, very exciting. Why Jesus came down and died on that cross and works in my life and cleans me up so that God, the Father, can come and live within me and I can be his eternal habitation. Isn't that amazing? God desires for us to be his eternal habitation. Not heaven and, you know, all the beauty of the stars and all that good stuff. God desires for us to be his eternal habitation. That is fantastic. When I first read that, it's in Ephesians, you know. I just couldn't believe that God would want to live within me. Well, he's not going to live within us if we have a lot of dirty things in our temple. We've got to clean that up. We are the habitation of God, and he is a bit fussy about his temple. He steps back, and he lets us handle things and gives us the responsibility to come to judgment. We have to grow up and come to self-judgment. Who is going to watch you? Is it going to be Pastor Foster? Is it going to be your wife? Is it going to be, you know, who's going to watch you? Is it your brother or your sister going to be responsible for these things? No. God has made us responsible for that task in our life. God has given us the responsibility to judge areas in our life, judge situations in our life. I was talking to Carol a couple of days ago. When we first come to God, our appeal to God is first on mercy and grace. You know, it's mercy and grace. We come to God, it's mercy and grace. And God gives us mercy. But before we receive mercy and before we receive grace, there must be a judgment. Judgment must come. Before we enter into heaven, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand before a holy God. And he's not going to say, come on in, Dave, the water's fine. He's going to say, I got to judge you first. Wow. Judgment comes before we go to heaven. Judgment also comes before mercy. You don't give mercy, then judgment. You're found guilty or innocent, and if you're found guilty, then you're given mercy. Judgment happens before that. But the longer we walk with the Lord, our appeal to God will not be grace and mercy as much as it will be judgment. It's the same thing with our children. As they grow, as we teach our children, you know, we give them grace and mercy and we get them. And as they grow up, there's kind of like less grace and mercy in their lives when they mess up. But there's more of a judgment on our part. And that judgment is what keeps our kids on the straight and narrow. It keeps them on track. And it's the same thing in our lives as we walk with the Lord. The more we walk with the Lord and the longer you walk with the Lord, grace and mercy will be there, but God's appeal to us will be his judgment. Because his judgment is what's going to keep us on track and see us through. We are to be the watchmen of our soul before we can watch over other souls. Amen? We are to be the watchmen of our soul before we can watch over other souls. And we need to watch out. We must first judge ourselves. It is our responsibility, it is our duty to judge areas in our life. This is the choice that we have. We can either do that or we cannot do that. And I'm telling you, the place of spiritual growth and development in our lives is when we can come to a place that we can judge ourselves and go, oh my God, I don't believe I said that. Oh, I don't believe I treated my wife like that. Oh my God. Oh, and we judge that. Separate it. And we move on. Never, ever to come back. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:31, Paul said this, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Holy cow. Remember, when you justify yourself before man, you make that man your judge. Let me say that again. when you justify yourself before man, you make that man, you justify yourself to your judge. That's what Paul was saying right here. For if we would judge ourselves, if we judge ourselves, then we should not be judged. We should not be judged. If we judge ourselves, then we won't make that mistake. So we got to go, humma, humma, well, I'm sorry, and I did this, and I did that. When you do that, then that man becomes your judge. But if you judge yourself, you won't make those mistakes. You won't make those mistakes. Sin will not have dominion over us. God does not know one who God does not know one who does not know between clean and unclean. He doesn't. God does not know somebody who doesn't know the difference between clean and unclean. In Matthew 7:22-23, some very controversial scriptures. And in 22, we have probably what I would call the apostate church, very, very prevalent today. Lord, did we not cast out demons and do mighty miracles and works and all of this stuff? And in verse 23, the Lord answers them back. Now this is, they're standing before God, and God says, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Now that, I mean that should give every believer pause there and say, Lord, please, not me. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. That word iniquity there in the Greek means outside the law. In other words, everything that was done in verse 22 was done, and God was glorified, but it was done outside the law. The framework, it was done outside the way that God wanted that to be done. God has a certain way He wants things to be done. And it's our job to make sure they get done that very same way, the way that God wants to do it. The demons were cast out, God was glorified. Miracles, all that stuff was done. But they were done outside the framework that God had. And because of that, God said, depart from me, you Christians. I never knew you. Because, not that they didn't do the works of God, oh no, but they did them outside the framework. We come to a place of self-judgment. When we come to the place of responsibility that God has given us to be that judge and that jury, when we come to that place, then we're doing that the way that God would want things to be done. It is better for us to take care of these areas in our lives that need banished than to wait for God to have to come get rid of them. You know, I'm kind of a, and we sing a lot of songs in church that kind of aren't scriptural, you know. We sing this one song called No Tears in Heaven. You ever heard that, Gerald?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wonderful song, right? Not true. Not true. I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of tears in heaven. And it's going to be on Judgment Day. A lot of the people that stand at the white throne judgment, that when, there won't be much talking. I don't believe there'll be hardly talking at all. You know, there'll be no humma humma and no vindication or all that stuff. There's just going to be a lot of silence and a lot of knees hitting the ground, you know. And there's going to be a lot of tears from people that was taught the right way, but they chose not to go that way. And they send themselves to hell.
And the white throne judgment, that's one that the Christians will...
No, that's for sinners.
Okay.
That's for sinners.
Okay.
Christians go to the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay.
And that's where we're going to go, Gerald, to the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay.
And I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of tears, and there's going to be a lot of tears there. Some of those tears will be tears of joy, but some of those tears will not be tears of joy. Some of those tears will be tears of not doing that which God had wanted us to do. Not doing it in that framework and in that way that God wanted. You know, everyone says, I can't wait to go to heaven. I tell you, I can. I do not want to go to heaven right now. I don't. I do not want to stand before a holy God. If I can find some dirt in heaven, I'm going to try to get up under it. it's a fearful thing to stand before God, and He's going to expose my life. That, to me, is probably the scariest thing that I can ever imagine. To stand before a holy God, and I will be exposed for who I am. And I will be judged. I will be judged. We all will be judged. And after the judgment, mercy. Grace. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? But oh no, no tears in heaven. No, I think there will be many, many tears. Those who did not obey the gospel are not going to hear much good news. But if we judge ourselves, we will be free and we'll be able to be brought up into a great victory over the world and its judgments about us. Let me say that again. Very, very important point. We are judged of God so that we will not be condemned by the world. We are judged by God so that we shall not be condemned by the world. Those who do not obey the gospel of God are not going to hear much good news. But if we judge ourselves, we would be free and brought up into a great victory over the world and its judgments about us. We say, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. Can you imagine that? Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. Paul had that revelation right there when he said, within me, that is within my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Well, how could he say that? He could only say that when he had the revelation of his inward man. And the only way he can have that revelation is by self-judgment. Oh, I do the things. I see the things that I do, but I don't want to do them, you know. And I see things that I want to do, but I don't do them. Well, how could he say those words? Because he had that revelation of the need for self-judgment in his life. That's why he can say, for if we would judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. That's by the world and by God. And by God. By the Spirit, we wade through and lay aside life's many issues. We separate them. We judge them. We condemn them. We sentence them. And then we move on from them. We are the judge and the jury. Now we are free from the judgment of God to reach out and touch those who do not obey the gospel of God. How can we take care of another soul if we have to take care of our soul? Can't do it. But if we judge ourselves, and if we allow God to work in our heart, we are free then. God is able then to bring us into great victory, and because God can bring us into great victory, then we can help other people come into great victory. Victory is the ultimate place of rest God has for the believer, is victory. God never intends for us to come into defeat. Defeat is not in God's vocabulary. God's vocabulary is for His children to come into a place of victory, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. That's where God wants to bring each and every one of us tonight. But that will only be true in our life if we can come to a place in God, separate ourselves away unto Him, and allow Him to work in our lives, and come to that place of self-judgment. Victory is only for those who overcome. For only those that can overcome. We have come to self-judgment. We have laid aside things that are not profitable. We can now run the race that is set before us. Paul again in Hebrews 12:1, wonderful verse, says, let us lay aside, notice it says, every weight and the sin. That word and means there's two things there. It's a preposition. Every weight. That's something, and then there's something else. The sins. Every weight and sin are not the same thing there, moving. There's two different things there. There's those weights. Those weights. I was talking about crying in heaven. You know what you know what those, I believe those, you know, those weights here Paul was talking about, those things in our life. I don't know, Pastor Foster, if I should go here. Yeah. I'll say those things in my life that are not sin, not sin, but they keep me from becoming a husband and a man, a Christian that I need to become.
Mm-hmm.
The weights, things that weigh me, they're not sin. They're things that stop me and prevent me from coming in that place of victory. And they will follow me unless I judge them and allow God to remove them in my life. They're going to follow me all the way to heaven. Follow me all the way to heaven. And then in heaven, before I enter into the joys of the Lord, since I didn't judge him on earth, and allow God to remove those weights, not the sins, but those weights, God now will have to do the job. God will have to judge those weights in my life and go ahead and remove them. We judge these things and we lay them aside. We lay them aside, every weight and the sin, unless we judge them as being holy or unholy, clean or unclean, righteous or unrighteous, and allow God to clear them from our heart in our life. If judgment begins with us, which is the house of God, the house of the Lord, we will be able to influence others in the world, and their outcome will be good. But if judgment does not begin with us, then that effect, then that will affect others around us. Jordan, I really like what you said today when before we was praying, you know. You said, you know, you're not a counselor, but you're going to go ahead and just share the Word of God and, you know, so forth. Well, that's what I'm talking about right now. You know, because you've allowed God to work in your life and because you have judged some things in your life, because I know you pretty well, now you're able to influence the lives of other people. Well, that's what's missing in churches. Most Christians just come to church and they never come to this place of commitment and dedication to God to where they're able to judge areas in their life and lay them aside. Oh my gosh, I've got to get rid of that. That bad attitude, that bad thinking, that, you know, that way I talk to people. Those are weights that's going to follow us all the way to heaven unless we allow God, unless we judge those and allow God to move them from our life. God's intention is for us is to be a light upon the hill, shining out in darkness to other people. This is one main reason why the church has not been the influence it could have been. That's kind of bold, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. This is the reason why the church has not been the influence it could have been. Not many believers want to judge themselves. They don't. Because once they come to that, oh, hey, what, I have that bad thought or those bad attitudes or whatever, now, now what am I going to do with that? Am I just going to ignore it? Well, you know, you can't ignore it. Because God brought that to your attention. You're a believer. So you've got to separate that. Got to separate that from your life. Got to allow God to work in the inward man and strengthen us in the inner man and separate those things from our life. Today, this is why you only find 3% of dedicated believers in any given church or city doing 100% of God's work. That's the statistic. 3% of any given church does 100% of the work. And I know every pastor right now, the sound of my voice goes, amen, brother.
Yes, sir.
And that's true. 3%. Well, why? Because they haven't come to a place where they can judge themselves and be committed and dedicated. Most Christians live all of their life with all of this stuff hanging on them, expecting God through His Spirit to separate them to judge them and to condemn them and to sentence them. But he does not do that. No, no, no. He gives us this responsibility and this duty. God expects us to clear some areas in our life. This is his intention. We are to judge ourselves. We are to judge ourselves. Paul shared these words, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 and 3. You know, this, I really like these verses, because I just can't imagine doing this. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Now, I can understand that, because I can read the book of Revelations. And if the world shall be judged by... Well, sweetheart, who's going to be judging? By... The world shall be judged by...
Us.
You. Uh-huh. Yeah. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Wow. So we are going to judge the world. Now notice in verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Wow. We're going to judge the angels. Pastor Foster, how would you like to judge Michael?
Oh, he's coming.
Yeah. Now, Michael and Jude, I think the ninth verse, of himself, he took no presumption and he took no forethought on himself when he was contending for Moses' body. He said, "The Lord rebuked you."
Uh-huh.
Talking to the devil. The Lord rebuke thee. Now, wow. What type of man would I have to be, even in God, to judge an angel like that? Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He meant that. And we're going to judge the angels and how much more things that pertain to this life. When are we going to learn how to judge the world? When are we going to learn how to judge the world? A better question is, when are we going to learn how to judge the angels? We learn how to judge the world. We learn how to judge the angels when we learn how to judge ourselves. That is a training for us judging the world in the future and judging the angels in the future. We will be able to do that. We will have the expertise. We'll have the ability. We'll have everything that we will need when we shall judge the world and we shall judge the angels, because we have started that learning process by learning how to judge ourselves. If we do not learn now how to judge ourselves, we will not be able. We will not have the ability to judge the world and the angels. We will not be free to move and touch lives with the life of Christ, even in the smallest of matters. The smallest, not the biggest matters, but of the smallest matters. Because within us is such a poor representation of the life of Christ. How can we ever expect to minister to the world if within us is not much of the life of Christ moving? Whew, boy, there is not the influence in us there. We have a nasty mouth, a nasty temper, which hinders people from seeing the glory of God in us. Second time I went to Ethiopia. I'll never forget this. I'll never, ever forget this. I was there about a week and a half or so. And every morning, I would get up, and I'd go and I'd sit on the stoop. And, you know, it was like God was, you know, waking me up. And it was good, because I would, you know, spend time before the Lord. And then he would drag me out on the stoop, and I would just sit there. And, I mean, this wasn't a real fancy place. I mean, I was staying with like 9 or 10 Ethiopians in a 3-room place. Yeah, it was But you know what? Three rooms. One was a bathroom. One was a living room. And one was a bedroom. And they gave me the bedroom. Mm-hmm. That means all the rest slept in the living room. Wow. But anyways, Lord, wake me up. And I went on the stoop, and I would sit there in front of me with these huge trees. And up the top of these trees were some eagles. And they were swinging together and flying and having a good time. And this went on for about a week, week and a half. And I didn't understand, you know, I didn't understand why, you know, what God was trying to teach me here. So anyways, the last couple nights, I spoke at a really neat building, and it was we probably had about 5,000 or 6,000 Christians there. Only Christians could come to this meeting. No sinners. Well, maybe some came. I don't know. But this was for only Christians, for pastors and for preachers and teachers and leaders. You know, was there. And I talked about rebuilding the wall again for Nehemiah, you know, and before I spoke, Pastor B.B. Esaias, he said, "Will you do me a favor?" And I said, "Sure, Pastor Esaias." What's that? He said, "When you finish, will you pray for the people that have HIV?" And I said, "Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, and you know, I said sure because I thought there might be one or two, you know, maybe three or four, and I could lay hands and, you know." So anyways, when I finished, and, you know, Pastor Esaias said that I was going to go ahead and, you know, I was going to pray for those that had HIV, and I was standing there with my hands folded and, you know, reverent, you know, and just kind of speaking to the Lord. And when he finished, I heard this rumble. I thought, wow. Sounds like an earthquake or something, you know. And I looked up, and out of the 5,000 or 6,000 people that were there, there was at least 2,000 or 3,000 coming forward. And I just stepped back. And when I stepped back, the Lord brought my mind to those eagles that was up in the trees and up in the nest. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "These people were not as faithful as those eagles were. They were not as faithful as these eagles were." Remember, this is only for Christians. So that was like a couple thousand Christians were coming forward for prayer, and we prayed for them, but they weren't faithful. You only get HIV a couple ways. And it's not by blood you know, by blood products. In Africa, if you need blood, you die. You don't get blood. You know, unless you've got a lot of money. The only other way to get HIV is through unprotected sex. Those people were not as faithful as those eagles. They had those issues in their life. And they needed to judge themselves. Or never forget that. Or never forget that sound. Or never forget the faces of those people that never came to that place of understanding, to where they had to judge themselves and separate themselves. These are Christians now. They never came to that place to where going here or going there or seeing this person or that person or whatever. Whew. Wow. Self-judgment is a very, very, very important area in our life. Again, I believe it's one of the most important messages that we should be sharing. I think the last thing that the church needs is another message on grace and forgiveness. I mean, you know, my Lord, you know, we need to grow up. You know, we need to get serious about this and really talk about some very, very serious issues in our life. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love, your mercies, Father. Lord, tonight, I would ask, Father, Lord God, that we would look within ourselves, Father, Lord God, that all here, Father, Lord, and all that will hear this this teaching over the internet, Father Lord, would come to a place, Father Lord God, of self-judgment, and Lord, we would look, Father Lord, within ourselves, and like David, Lord, see if there's any wicked way in us, Father Lord God, so that you can lead us in the way everlasting. Father Lord, if we never come to this place, Father Lord, if we never separate ourselves fully unto you, Father Lord, there'll be no spiritual growth and development in our life. Lord, if we never come to a place where we'll be able to separate things, Father Lord, in our life, Lord, there'll never ever be any spiritual growth and development. Father Lord, let that not be said of us, Father. Lord, let us tonight, Father Lord, have the ability in God, Father Lord God. Enough of you in us, Father Lord, the hope of glory, to be able to look within ourselves, Father Lord God, and separate those areas and those thoughts and those deeds, Father Lord, so they won't follow us to heaven, Father. Let us judge them, Father Lord God, so that you won't. Father Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Father. Lord, just lay this word in our heart, Father, and Lord, let us meditate on it, Father Lord, and we just thank you and we praise you, Father. And Lord, we just give you all the honor and the glory. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.